Judges chapter 4 and 5, yeah?
Yes.
Sorry, I didn't read. I only saw your message.
It's okay. No, it's okay. because we're going to read it again. And then I'm just going to... we can read it again now. And then we can discuss.
Give the thing of the story, I suppose, if you want.
Okay. Hold on a second. Okay. This is all the Ellen White summary of the, not summary because it's not, it's a long, not long for a, because it's only in the life of Deborah. And it said, this is, as I said, that we are still in the book of Daughters of God. So we are here. Now, Deborah, the prophet, governed Israel during the reign of Jabin, a Canaanite king who was very cruel to the children of Israel. Life in the villages was harsh. The people were plundered and fled to the fortified cities for protection. Then the Lord raised up Deborah, who was like a loving mother to Israel. God sent a message through her to Barak that he should prepare to meet Sisera, a Jabin's general, in battle. Barak refused to go unless Deborah went with him. She agreed, but warned him that because of his lack of faith in the words of the Lord, the honor of killing Sisera would go to a woman, not to Barak. The Israelites, having again separated themselves from God by idolatry, were grievously oppressed by their enemies. Before I continue, do you guys already prayed?
Yes.
Okay.
We were going to start reading.
You can pray again if you want.
Yes, let us pray. Okay. Our Heavenly Father, we come to the dear Lord to praise and worship you, to give you thanks, and to praise you, Lord, because you are our wonderful counselor, our Prince of Peace, and our everlasting Father. The God of all gods, the Lord of all lords, and the King of all kings. We give you thanks, O Lord, for the wonderful Sabbath that we experience, and for us bringing us here to study your word and to know the life before the people, before your people. And as we continue to study your word, O Lord, we pray for your guidance, your wisdom, your knowledge, and your understanding, O Lord, because we need you to help each one of us as we go on in this life, this world. Your word is our guidelines, O Lord. Your word is our light in our path, a lamp in our feet. So we pray, dear Father, for you to bless each one of us and forgive us for all of our sins, and may your kingdom come, and may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.
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 I go on. The Israelites, having again separated themselves from God by idolatry, were grievously oppressed by their enemies. The property and even the lives of the people were in constant danger, since the villages and lonely dwellings were deserted, and the people congregated in the walled cities. The high roads were unoccupied, and the people went from place to place by unfrequented byways. At the places for drawing water, many were robbed and even murdered. And to add to the distress, the Israelites were unarmed. Among 40,000 men, not a sword or a spear could be found. For 20 years, the Israelites groaned under the yoke of the oppressor. Then they turned from their idolatry. And with humiliation, the repentant and repentance cried unto the Lord for deliverance. They did not cry in vain. There was dwelling in Israel a woman illustrious for her piety, and through her the Lord chose to deliver his people. Her name was Deborah. She was known as a prophetess, and in the absence of the unusual magistrate, the people had sought to her for counsel and justice. The Lord communicated to Deborah his purpose to destroy the enemies of Israel, and bade her send for a man named Barak of the tribe of Naphtali, and make known to him the instructions which she had received. She accordingly sent for Barak and directed him to assemble 10,000 men of the tribes of Naphtali and Zebulun, and make war upon the armies of King Jabin. Barak knew the scattered, disheartened, and the armed condition of the Hebrews and the strength of skill of their enemies. Although he had been designated by the Lord himself as the one chosen to deliver Israel and had received assurance that God would go with him and subdue their enemies, yet he was timid and distrustful. He accepted the message from Deborah as the word of God, but he had little confidence in Israel and feared that they would not obey his call. He refused to encourage. Sorry?
I was just going to say, sound like, you know, it believe in new men other than God.
Yeah. It's kind of a human feeling. We all have this attitude of doing or thinking negative thoughts or negative outlook of whatever is that has been planned, and you've given and. Although you've given the instruction, but you have this lack of faith.
Yes, it's kind of, it was an art general or whatever, you know, leading the army, you know. I guess I was thinking, I was just laughing in a sense about nowadays everything is women has to have so many posts, everything is women. You know, to bring women in the limelight. But in fact, it started way in Bible time. It described the skills of women in Deborah. Sorry, but
it's okay. So it said, I'll go on. The Israelites had established themselves in a strong position in the mountains to await a favorable opportunity for an attack. Encouraged by Deborah's assurance that the very day had come for signal victory, Barak led his army down into open plain and boldly made a charge upon the enemy. The God of battle fought for Israel, and neither skill in warfare nor superiority of numbers and equipment would withstand them. The host of Sisera were panic-stricken. In their terror, they sought only how they might escape. Vast numbers were slain, and the strength of the invading army was utterly destroyed. The Israelites acted with courage and promptness, but God alone could have defeated the enemy, and the victory could be ascribed to him alone. When Sisera saw that his army was defeated, he left his chariot and endeavored to make his escape on foot as a common soldier. Approaching the tent of Heber, one of the descendants of Jethro, the fugitive was invited to find shelter there. In the absence of Heber, Jael, his wife, courteously offered Sisera a refreshing draught, an opportunity to repose, and the weary general soon fell asleep. Jael was at first ignorant of the character of her guest, and she resolved to conceal him. But when she afterward learned that he was Sisera, the enemy of God and of his people, her purpose changed. As he lay before her asleep, she overcame her natural reluctance to such an act and slew him by driving a nail through his temples, pinning him to the earth. As Barak, in pursuit of his enemy, passed that way, he was called by Jael to behold the vainglorious captain dead at his feet, slain by the hand of a woman. Do we have time to read? Even it's just chapter 4.
Yes.
5 verses each. Yes. If we have time, we can read chapter 5. Who wants to start chapter 4? Judges chapter 4, verse 1 to 5.
Okay. When Ehud was dead, the children of Israel again believed in the sight of the Lord. So the Lord sold them into the hand of Jabin, king of Canaan, who reigned in Azor. The commander of his army was Sisera, who dwelt in Arosheth-Aggoyim. And the children of Israel cried out to the Lord, for Jabin had 900 chariots of iron. And for 20 years he had harshly oppressed the children of Israel. Now Deborah, the prophetess, the wife of Lapidus, was judging Israel at that time. And she would sit under the palm tree of Deborah, the palm tree of Deborah, between Ramah and Bethel, in the mountain of Ephraim. And the children of Israel came to her for judgment.
6 to 10, if anyone will read. Okay.
Deborah sent for Barak, the son of Abinoam, who lived in Kedesh, in the land of Naphtali, part of the territory of Israel that Jabin the Canaanite took. And Barak came, she said to him, "This is what the Lord God of Israel said. I want you to call 10,000 men from Naphtali and Zebulun to meet you at Mount Tabor in the land of Issachar. I will see to it that Sisera takes his chariots and troops down the dry bed of the Kishon River to get ready to attack you, but I will deliver him into your hands." Barak said to her, "If you go with me, then I will have victory, just as Moses and the Israelites had victory when the ark was with them in the past. But if you don't go, then I won't go." Then Deborah said, "All right, I'll go with you. But because of your lack of faith in the words of the Lord, the credit of killing Sisera will go to a woman and not to you." So Deborah went with him to Kadesh. From there, Barak sent out a call for 10,000 men from Zebulun and Naphtali to fight Sisera. They followed him to Mount Tabor, and Deborah went with them. 11?
11 to 15, if anyone would like to read.
May I?
Now, yes.
Carry on,
Claudette.
Okay. Now Heber the Kenite had left the other Kenites, the descendants of Hobab, Moses' brother-in-law, and pitched his tent by the great tree of Zananim near Kedesh. When they told Sisera that Barak, son of Abinoam, had gone up to Mount Tabor, Sisera gathered together his 900 iron chariots and all the men with him from Arutheth, Aguzim, to the Kishon River. Then Deborah said to Barak, "Go, this is the day the Lord has given Sisera into your hands. Has not the Lord gone ahead of you?" So Barak went down Mount Tabor, followed by 10,000 men. And Barak advanced. The Lord routed Sisera and all his chariots and army by the sword, and Sisera abandoned his chariots and fled on foot. Is that it? 15? Is it up to 15?
16 to 20.
Okay.
Did you read the 15 for that?
Yes, I have.
Okay.
So somebody has 16 to 20.
Yeah. If that's okay.
But Barak pursued the chariots and the army as far as Aroshet Agoyim, and all the army of Sisera fell by the edge of the sword. Not a man was left. However, Sisera fled away on foot to the tent of Jael, and the wife of Eber the Kenite, for there was peace between Jabin, king of Azor, and the house of Eber the Kenite. And Jael went out to meet Sisera, and said to him, "Turn aside, my lord, turn aside to me, do not fear." And when he has turned aside with her into the tent, she covered him with a blanket. Then he said to her, "Please give me a little water to drink, for I'm thirsty." She opened a jug of milk, gave him a drink, and covered him. And he said to her, "Stand at the door of the tent. For if any man comes and inquires of you and says, 'Is there any man here?' you shall say no." That's it?
21 to 24.
Okay.
Oh, yes,
he must be alive. But Jael, Heber's wife, picked up a tent peg and a hammer and went quietly to him while he lay fast asleep, exhausted. She drove the peg through his temple into the ground and he died. Just then, Barak came by in pursuit of Sisera, and Jael went out to meet him. "Come," she said, "I will show you the man you're looking for." So he went in with her, and there lay Sisera with the tent peg through his temple, dead. On that day, God subdued Jabin, king of Canaan, before the Israelites, and the hand of the Israelites pressed harder and harder against Jabin, king of Canaan, until they destroyed him.
Amen.
Amen. Any would like to have a thoughts for this? We have two fiery I searched in Wikipedia the name Deborah, and it said according to the book of Judges, Deborah was a prophetess of the God of the Israelites, the fourth judge of pre-monarchy. Israel, the only female judge mentioned in the Bible. Many scholars contend that the praise a woman of Lapidus, as translated from biblical Hebrew in the Judges 4, chapter 4, verse 4, denotes her marital status as the wife of Lapidus. Alternatively, Lapid translates as torch or lightning. Therefore, the praise woman of Lapidus could be referencing Deborah as a fiery or fairy? Fairy woman. Deborah, fairy. Fairy.
Fire.
F-I-E-R-E-Y.
Yeah. Fiery. Fire. Fire. Like fire, fiery.
Deborah told Barak as an Israel general from Kadesh in Naphtali, that God commanded him to lead an attack against the forces of Jabin, king of Canaan, and his military commander Sisera. And go on the story. But in this situation, Deborah is given recognition. Yeah, but I think the story wasn't also be Jael's wife is also a woman of, we yeah. say a fiery woman, because she have this she have the, what do you call, she have the attitude of, what do you call, because she's the one who killed the enemy. So how do you say it, she have the courage of doing the supposed to be Barak supposed to do. But
but even Barak asked her, would you come with me? In those days, there you have a man king asking a lady, she was a prophetess, to come with her to fight. This is what he says, if you will go with me, then I will go. To tell you how strong Deborah was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Then the other, if I jump all the way from verse 17, verse 16, said, but Barak flashed the chariot and the army as far as Arosheth Agoyim. And all the army of Sisera fell by the edge of the sword. Not a man was left. However, Sisera fled away on foot to the tent of Jael, the wife of Eber the Kenite. For there was peace between Jabin and king of Israel, king of, and the house of Eber. So, like, maybe that's why he went there, because he felt that was safe. You know, because there was peace between the two. And then, it says in verse 18, and Jael went to meet Sisera and said to him, turn aside, my lord, turn aside to me, do not fear. For when he had turned aside with her into the tent, she covered him with a blanket and then also drank. So it was like a safety retreat for a while, which was not safe.
Mm-hmm.
She fed him. Or rather, the ploy was there, because they know what they were doing. They know how to attack him and to finish him. Look what they did after, they covered with the blanket, for people not to see her, not to know that he was there. But the action was worse.
The way Sister White put it in the reading you read, it seems as though she didn't realize it was Sisera in the first place.
Yes.
It's like there's maybe a confusion at first, or lack of knowledge that it was Sisera, but then later she than what is supposed to happen.
I think those of our members who find it difficult to sleep would be quite envious of him being able to fall asleep so deeply.
Well, I think he fall asleep because he was on the battle, yeah? So he was already tired after the battle, I think, or... Yeah.
And he gave them milk to drink as well.
Yeah, he's given milk. That's also added to the comfort of him sleeping.
It's kind of very strange, no? In a sense. For these two women, I mean.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But if I'm remembering Judges chapter 1 and 2, this was after they had passed over into the land of Canaan, right? The Israelites. And God was like really upset with the Israelites, because he said to them, I told you to drive out the Amalekites and you were still using them as your slaves, in chapter 1 and 2. So, to me, it seems like all of them had to develop that attitude of, you know, being like, you know, driving out the Amalekites, how they would have done it, you know, they would have had to. So basically, it reminds me that somebody once prayed and said, you know, Jesus is like the lion and Jesus is like the lamb, and make us after Jesus, the lamb of the tribe of Judah. Mm. So when it comes to fighting, I mean, we're all in this war. We're all in the war together, whether we're men or female. And when it comes to, like, fighting, so to speak, when it comes time for us to fight the enemy in the great controversy, conflict.
Yeah.
So we still, women, we still have to fight. Whether it's for our children, whether it's for our people, whatever it is, we still have to fight.
Mm.
So I would think that, you know, we're made after the image of God, and man is made after the male image of God, and woman is made after the female image of God.
Mm.
You know, we all, man and woman, is made in his image.
Yeah.
So when it comes to God's work, the show needs to go on.
Yes.
With the
I was also thinking, well, I mean, you know, they've been under oppression. And they killed the king, you know, because he said the enemies took on his strong out. Yeah. These enemies had oppressed Israel, so meaning men and women and children.
Yeah.
Presumably. So I suppose some women will quietly stood up and did the job. You know, while I'm sure the Holy Spirit guided them.
Well, yeah, because we're still in the army of God, isn't it?
And it wasn't God's plan, because the Lord said that if he's not going to trust God, so women will bring the glory, so it wasn't God's plan already.
Yeah. Everything, God is always ahead, or have seen the future that is going to happen in each and every one of his people. The thing has also struck me, because it stated this in here, that Israel falls into idolatry, but then when they cried out and prayed to God, so their prayer had been heard, they have given victory to their enemy.
Yes. What we have to realize, though, even in those days, there was what today they call the division of labor. What is the responsibility of men, and what is the responsibility of women? Wherever you are, there is that difference between men and women. In those days, women were supposed, their duty was whatever, but leading the army was supposed to be the duty of a man.
Mm.
And see what Deborah says to her. This is what the people will say. A woman has won the victory.
Mm.
He says in there, then, and he said, yes, I will go, if you will not go with me. So she said, I will surely go with you, nevertheless. There will be no glory for you in the journey they are taking. For the Lord will sell Sisera in the hand of a woman, which is for the king, or whatever his name was, Barak, would have been ashamed. He would have attracted the shame on him by allowing a woman to pass him, or to won a victory, although they were in the same team. If there was no man there, that would be a different matter. There is, Barak is there. So why is it that he didn't get to win?
It reminds me, was it Ellen G. White was saying that there was someone else called to be prophet, but someone refused. That's why Ellen G. White was chosen to be a prophetess.
So it's the same with this Barak. He was called to be the winner, but he refused. He didn't trust God, so this honor came to another person. That's how I understand. So.
Well, I suppose whether you're man or woman,
yeah, it doesn't matter really.
If you are, if you don't do the job God wants you to do, then somebody else gets to do the job and gets the honor from God. The blessing
could be that. Okay, sorry. I was thinking it could be the question we haven't asked, the question of faith. You know, these people in the army, the commander and the assistant, well, technically, you should say the commander can't do it, the male assistant would do. But it's a question of maybe they wouldn't have the courage, the faith. You know, to do that, what is ours.
On the other hand, it tells you, you can be at the end, you can be, but God will always find somebody to do the work.
Yeah.
It's fine, somebody to do the work. You can refuse, but somebody has to get it.
And God sees the, what abilities he can, he has, how to say, what kind of, how can you, the person, how able you are to fulfill God's will. Sees the heart, the faith.
You know, Noelle,
go on, Radha.
You know, Noelle, you always talk about the mysteries of the Bible. You know, in a worldly manner, if you take God and the Holy Spirit out of this story, it's not such a good thing for a woman to kill a man.
Yes, that's what I thought when I was reading it.
The courage that she has.
Yeah, but now we only think the courage that she has because we know the context of the story. But I'm saying generally, if we're not reading this from the Bible, you think, why is this woman killing a man? You know, it's not a great thing.
A commander, that.
Yeah.
And look at the plan she made. Look at the plan she made.
It reminds me of Rahab when she was hiding. But it is. I think that God shows us. In the story and in the Bible, the high regard that he doesn't see women as inferior or you know what I mean. It's a constant thread. It's a constant thread of how he values women. He doesn't favor men over women or favor women over men.
But I think it's also the situation. Within that situation. Because it's only a woman that would be in the house, so the tent is like the house. You know, women didn't go to work and all this thing like today. So we ran there because, you know, there was peace between the two houses. And of course, then the woman would give him food and drink, so she gave milk. That's what they had, I suppose. And then when she realized who he was, then she proceeded with the task of putting the peg into his head, you know. So, I think she was guided also.
It's probably not looking at gender as such. We're looking at courage, or we're looking at obedience, we're looking at what God, you know, when we listen, what do we listen, when we hear God, are we hearing or are we not? Now, it says that, you know, as human, we can easily fall to that trap of being scared or being afraid. You can see that there, Barak was not ready to face the battle, probably he was scared. That's a big army. He'd rather want somebody like the prophetess with her, with him, rather than going on his own.
You know, it's a pity we can't read chapter 5 because already too busy. But I read one verse from chapter 5.
Yeah.
Chapter 5, verse 24. Mm-hmm. Well, it goes up to verse 27. Mind me, the whole chapter, but we just read 24 and 25 when we do it next time. The 24 said, most blessed woman is Jael, the wife of Eber the Kenite. She's the one that inserted the peg.
Yeah.
Blessed is she among women in tents. He asked for water, she gave milk. She brought out cream in a lordly bowl. She stretched her hand to the tent peg and her right hand to the workman Amr, and she pounded Sisera and she pierced his head. She split and struck through his temple, and it goes on about the fate of Sisera. But she's to be called blessed, most blessed among women in verse 24, chapter 4, verse 4. So it would be interesting next time, Maria, when you look at.
Yeah.
It's only when we were talking about the mysteries of God, it's like she knew the will of God.
Yes. So when you have to do the will of God, God would make no distinction between gender. I'm sure he does it now. Also. Mm-hmm. You know, but now we are more political with women and giving them their rights and all this, you know.
I'm pretty sure she was guided by the Holy Spirit, because I don't think that all women could be recognized through the Sisera and how he looked like. So I guess when she was there, like Marianne read, she didn't know, but then I guess the Holy Spirit told her that this is Sisera.
I'm sure, yes.
Yeah.
Sure.
She must have a very close relationship with God.
It has to be read from a spiritual eye.
Yeah.
Kind of human eye.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Any more points, Marianne? Otherwise, we...
Just a small paragraph. I think this is about the chapter 5, but she only... given the small paragraph, and it said, Deborah celebrated the triumph of Israel in the most sublime and impassioned song. She ascribed to God all the glory of their deliverance and bade the people praise him for his wonderful works. She called upon the kings and the princes of surrounding nations to hear what God had wrought for Israel, and to take warning not to do them harm. She showed that honor and power belong to God and not to men or to their idols. She portrayed the awful exhibitions of divine power and majesty displayed at Sinai. She set before Israel the helpless and distressed condition under the oppression of their enemies, and related in glowing language the history of their deliverance. I think this also can be found in the Signs of the Times, June 16, 1881.
Yeah. So when you read it like this from a spiritual context, it makes more sense. If you read it with our human eye, it looks like a fiery, cruel woman, you know, kind of thing. But it's God's plan, like Virginia says, to maybe also if a man was leading, they would take glory. But a woman was being give all the glory to God. This is important. The lesson today also, to give glory to God. You know, through all the crucibles.
What about the envy of Israel at the time? The envy of Barak, Sisera. We can see how this have worked on them. A woman defeated them. Actually, there were two women, if we can say. There was Deborah, and there was, what's her name, Jael.
Yael.
Yeah, I think I say.
Okay, if no more, we'll go for prayer requests.